This half hour of the iWorkframe radio broadcast is brought to you by Nepsis. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online at nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
Are you called to more than just getting it done by Friday?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him with your host, Jim Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him nation and cities around the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, thanks for tuning into I Work For Him this afternoon. As you listen all across the state of Florida and around the world on iHeartRadio, thanks for tuning in. We have got a great show for you today. A fantastic Together on Tuesday show, right, Martha?
That's exactly right. So we have a couple with us that will be able to interject a little bit of conversation about marriage and relationships.
How do people find out about us online, Martha?
Well, they can just find us on iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And, you know, a couple things that we've added recently is some testimonials. So if you're new as a listener and you want to just hear a little bit about what impact other people's stories have had on our listeners' lives, you can go and check that out. And also all of the links to our social media. So whether you tweet or use Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn, you know, because some people stay up late at night on LinkedIn because it's just so addictive. No, I'm just kidding.
Said no one ever, right?
Right. And we do appreciate LinkedIn so we can learn about people. So.
All right. And our listener line, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Give us some feedback. We really enjoy just hearing your story. So if you're willing to call into the listener line and share with us your story, 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. Okay. As we have said many times in the past, that this show is we are on location in Bend, Oregon, at the international headquarters of the World Changer Network and Eagle Mountain. You can find them online at worldchangernetwork.com, worldchangernetwork.com, and eaglemountain.global. This show is brought to you through a kingdom collaboration between the World Changer Network and I Work For Him Radio. We like to call that collaboration the I Work For Him World Changer Radio Network. James and Anna Kramer, the founders of the World Changer Network, feel led by God to introduce the world to the only one capable of bringing real change. And that's Jesus Christ. James and Anna have arranged for us to interview some amazing people who are gathered here in Bend, Oregon for the Hub Nation Summit 2018. Today we're interviewing Mark and Julie Appleyard. You may figure out from their accents that they're not from Oregon, but we'll let them tell you that. Mark and Julie Appleyard, welcome to I Work For Him.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here, mate.
Hey.
Oh, no, work the accent, would you?
Work the accent.
Work it really.
Well,
wow,
you know what? It's pretty good to be here.
And, pick a location.
I don't even know where to go with from there. All right. Yeah. We always open up.
You
this.
Didn't go into an accent. Nope. That's where I thought you were going to go. So.
Nope, not going to do it. I can't pull up. I'll go British. I won't go Australian.
Stone the crows, Jim.
I can't do it. Yeah. Outback. I can go to the Outback restaurant. Outback. That's all I can do. I can't do it. I won't do it around you. From now on, I'm embarrassed. Okay. We always open the show with a new guest to ask, you know, how did Jesus invade your life? How did you become a Jesus follower? Julie, how did you become a... Wait a minute. Forget it. Mark, why did you become a Jesus...
He was being a gentleman.
I know. No, he wasn't. I'm thinking he was delegating. That looked like delegating to me. So we're going to undelegate. Mark, how did you become a Christ follower?
I became a Christ follower at about 16 years of age, Jim. Grew up in country Victoria, Australia, and there weren't a lot of Christians around those parts. A good friend of mine invited me to a Christian youth camp at summertime. I didn't want to go, why would I want to spend my summer with Christians? And summer is Christmas time in Australia. Everything's backwards in Australia compared to here in the US, or maybe it's the other way around.
It's probably the other way,
other way around. So he said, listen, he said, there's going to be lots of pretty girls there. And I said, where do I sign? So I signed. He didn't lie. It wasn't bait and switch. There were lots of pretty girls there. But about the second day into it, I wasn't interested in the pretty girls anymore because I heard the message of Jesus. Mm. And it was profound. For me, it was a night-day experience. It was like a switch got flicked on inside of me, and I could just see everything totally different to what I'd ever known seeing it before. That ultimately changed the total trajectory of my life all those years ago.
Was that where you met Julie?
No.
I was not at that camp.
That was some years later, and it was another encounter that was night day.
we'll get to that story. We'll get to that story. Wow. Just a minute. Julie, how did you come to be a follower of Jesus?
I was attending a conference with my grandmother. It was a camp conference in Victoria, not close to where he went to his camp. It was Belgrave Heights, and it was a Keswick convention, very conservative teaching, but lovely, just lovely atmosphere. My grandmother went every Christmas, every Easter, and her brother, my great uncle, had a caravan that we would put on site. And one night like a camper trailer, okay, but it was sweet, like an enclosed one with
sure.
You know,
okay, a pull
everything
behind, camper
inside.
Trailer. Sure.
Oh, good. Okay. Caravan. You've learnt some Aussie today. One night after the kids' meeting, I was probably about 5 years old, and went back to the caravan. We're sitting having some dinner, and I asked my grandmother what they'd been talking about that day, and she led me in a very simple prayer. And looking back, I do recall a very significant God encounter at that time. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Christian family. But didn't really wake up as a Christian, I suppose. I always felt like I wanted more than just to pray a prayer and go to church on Sundays. The same convention. A number of years later, I'm now married. We have three children. We're sitting in our own camper trailer. And I wrote in my journal that night, Lord, there has to be more to this than just attending these things. Where are you? And I want to get to know you more. And that started a whole other journey. But yeah.
So in between the two camping trips, you guys met. How did the Lord draw Mark and Julie Appleyard together?
We were I was part of a youth group out in the country, again in Victoria. I was at a youth group gathering. I believe I was serving tea and coffee at the time. I was taking orders, wasn't I?
He was taking tea and coffee orders. He was wearing a red and white checkered frilly apron somebody had tied around the front of him, and stood up on the hearth of the fireplace and was asking for tea and coffee orders. Was the first time that we actually met.
He definitely got your attention.
Here in the US, would you use the line coffee, tea, or me? You didn't use that line?
You know, that would have been a good one.
Coffee, tea, or Milo.
It was Milo.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
He took more notice of me than I did of him, unfortunately, on that particular night.
You know, Jim, I never let that get in my way.
He went fishing with a mate the next day,
yeah.
And his mate asked him, he said to his mate, you know, oh, did you see that Julie girl? And his friend said, yeah, what was her last name? And Mark said,
I said, it really doesn't matter because it'll be Appleyard one day anyway.
Oh, wow, you have a prophetic gift there.
We just built a friendship around music. Music has always been a big part of both of our lives. Mm. We built a friendship around that one thing led to another, and 9 months later we were engaged.
Fantastic. Yeah. And 18 months after that, we got married.
Yeah.
If we had our time over, we might flip that next
time. Yeah, don't get to do that over again.
Yeah, don't get to do that.
You really
want
to go back and be a teenager again?
Yeah,
no.
I'm afraid not.
No. Yeah.
And now you just celebrated 25 years.
Yes, we did.
Congratulations! Way
Thank
to go.
You. Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you've learned about the the biggest thing that was a myth about marriage that you've now learned that was a myth about marriage? Let me rephrase the question. Let me make it a better question. What's been the greatest thing about marriage in the last 25 years? Mark?
Oh, wow. I think what it means to truly operate in as one flesh, as one together. What is that? What is that really look like? And we've had to, and we still are figuring that out as we go along. Mm-hmm. We haven't arrived at a concrete, you know, solution and answer to that. But I think really that's been one of the major things, because that's the ultimate shift that takes place. The Bible tells us that the two will become one flesh. But then you sort of don't ever hear about that again. But really, that's, I think, the major thing, the hopes, the dreams, the ideas, the, you know, or the inspirations. What does it mean when you go through conflict? You know, before you go through conflict with a work colleague or a family member, it was just like, oh, that was a pretty bad day. You go through conflict as one flesh, your whole world falls apart and you can hardly even put one foot in front of the other. You know, it's just so profound. Everything shifts in that moment. So I think for me, it's very much, that's been that journey of walking that out, and what does it look like? Mm-hmm. That as we get older, we want to do things that do this, otherwise do this, that draw us closer together than things that pull us apart. Mm.
Julie, I'd ask you, but Mark used all your time.
He really did.
And he's probably been doing that for 25 years. We come back lots more with Mark and Julie Appleyard as we hear about their ministry called Anathin. What does that mean? You're going to find out right after the break. You're listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Here's Rick Box, founder of Unconventional Business Network, formerly Integrity Resource Center, with today's Integrity Moment.
Years ago, I had an employee who had been very effective and engaged in her job. Then she became jealous of another employee. Her attitude changed and the quality of her work declined dramatically. Although I addressed the underlying issues, it soon became evident that she was never going to re-engage. We mutually agreed that she needed to leave. One of the toughest jobs in leadership is managing departing employees. Emotions can become highly charged, and a good relationship can turn sour. Showing them respect rather than harm can be difficult. Paul wrote in Romans 13:10, "Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." If you have a departing employee, do your best to respect and love them, not harm them.
To learn more about Unconventional Business Network and doing business God's way, visit unconventionalbusiness.org. That's unconventionalbusiness.org.
Hey, Jim. So just last week, I ran into one of our friends at the store. She mentioned she'd been listening to I Work For Him on her car radio, but she didn't get to finish the show due to an appointment, and she missed the end of the interview. So I had her get out her phone and go to our website, iworkforhim.com, and I subscribed her to our weekly blog email right away. Then every Friday, she'll get all the show links from the past week sent to her, along with your blog, Jim. I also showed her that the website allows her to listen live, search for past shows, and have all the different podcast options that she can subscribe to. She was excited to see that our website had all the radio program information and her blogs, Jim, our events, a challenge to join the I Work For Him Nation, and even information about our show sponsors.
Hey, listeners, you should subscribe and stay connected. While you're there, find out how to connect on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram all have constant updates about show guests, upcoming shows, links to listen, pictures, and even videos. Now, let's get back to the show.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him again as we interview Mark and Julie Appleyard, courtesy of the World Changer Network. Find them online, worldchangernetwork.com, worldchangernetwork.com.
That's right. So we were just talking about your marriage and your courtship and getting to know each other and church camp. Boy, a lot of relationships can get started at church camp. It's a great, great foundation there.
I agree.
For sure. I know that was a solidifier in a lot of ways in our relationship. Mm-hmm. So, Julie, we'll throw it to you as far as what do you think has, what did you even ask?
What's the greatest, thing,
the
about
greatest thing about marriage
the
is what
greatest
we
thing
landed
about marriage.
On.
I actually wanted to throw it back to the original question that
you
asked about the myth.
Okay. What was the greatest myth?
The greatest myth about marriage was that once you say I do, it's happily ever after. Mm.
And Disney made that up though.
That's right. Okay. But you know, it becomes a pervading part of culture and people tend to think that we're married now, I don't have to work at this relationship anymore. I don't have to work at keeping myself clean, like spiritually or maybe even physically. I don't know. Some people just seem to, you know, they get married, they let themselves go. Why do they do that? But I think you know, Mark referred to conflict and conflict resolution. You think that, you know, love is enough to get you through anything, but yeah, but at the same time, no, because you have to work at it. Mm-hmm. Every single day you have to work at it. And there are many days where either one of us would be waking up praying, Lord, help me love them better today. Because yesterday was really hard and I don't want to.
Right.
Martha wakes up praying that every day. And you don't have any problem imagining that either, can you? Okay.
But it's the thing that keeps marriages together is when people are willing to do that. So.
Yeah. And we have found that. How often do you guys pray together?
You know, for us, it's actually prayer is a conversation and it is quite literally constant. We will be sharing from each other's journals, and then we're speaking into those things, and then all right, suddenly there's something there, and we'll pray into. Prayer is not an event for us; it's a way of life. Mm-hmm. Jesus is a part of all the conversations. Just this morning, we were journaling before today, sitting outside, and Julie's going, "Hey, I'm just hearing this from the Lord right now. What are you hearing?" Well, we're praying, and we're doing that. For us, prayer is not an event of okay, let's hold hands and pray. It's actually a very open dialogue. That all our family is a part of, and then when others come and stay with us, they just become a part of that as well. And oftentimes we'll just stop and right in the moment just going, so right now, Lord, you've heard what we're saying, and we just, you know, we release this and just ask you to speak into these things, and then we just keep talking. And it's just, I don't know, for us, he's just constantly there and part of those conversations. So I say we pray all the time because it's just a regular part of our everyday dialogue.
Because sitting down and actually having a regular prayer devotional time did not work for us.
No.
It just
became too regimented.
And it was too clunky, and we both felt really awkward, and then we both felt really guilty because we're pastors and we don't do this. That's awful. Like, and we're supposed to be trying to teach people to do this and we don't do this. And then one day we're kind of talking and we realized, hey, This it's just been an organic thing. It's been something that flows with us. We have the conversation. One of us will just voice, Lord, you're here. You hear everything. Hear what we're asking you. You say in Jesus' name, amen. And then it's like the conversation moves on and you forget all about God again. We don't do that. Yeah. We don't say in Jesus' name, amen, because we want the conversation to be always open and we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds.
Another radical heretic kind of idea right here in I Word for Him brought to you.
Sorry. Do not be sorry. No. He is completely having fun with it.
Absolutely love that.
Cool.
I love
because
that.
Because one of the things
That's a great insight. That's a great insight.
We believe that this platform is for our listeners who are dialed in today or listening to the podcast later, that they are hearing something that maybe resonates with them.
Right.
Maybe they have experienced the same thing where they're ridden with guilt because what they're doing doesn't look like what somebody else is doing. The key to what Jim and our conversation is that God is a part of your marriage and that communication needs to be happening, whatever that may look like. And you have opened up fresh eyes for somebody that might be able to say, that's more like what how I converse. And so we just want to thank you for that and sharing openly and not to feel bad at all. No. So we are talking with Mark and Julie Appleyard with Anathin. Anathin.co is their website. You can check them out to learn more about them, as we will be learning as this hour goes on.
All right. So Mark, tell us about Anathin. First of all, what does it mean?
Yeah. So Anathin is the word that comes out of the story with Jesus and Nicodemus, where Nicodemus comes in the night and says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, you must be born again. So that word again is the word Anathin. And it means from above. You must be born from above. That arrested our attention as we were wrestling with the whole idea of what did it mean to live on earth as it is in heaven. The disciples' prayer that has that phenomenal line that just it blew our minds away. And so that word Anathin captured that, because really, you know, oftentimes we find ourselves striving to live toward a place that we should be living from. Living from heaven to earth. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's not a future promise. It's a present reality. We are connected spiritually in heaven right now in this conversation. We are right there in the spirit. In fact, the scriptures say God's spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're God's children. So we have that spirit-to-spirit connection right now. And so therefore we can live on earth as it is in heaven because we have a connection whereby we are in heaven at the same time as on earth. So so Anathan captured that for us. Being born again, being born from above, meant living living from heaven to earth.
Okay, so that explains the name. What is it that you do?
Yeah, so what we felt the calling is that it was bringing that into the life of particularly initially starting business leaders in your personal life, your family life, and your business life. You know, business coaching is usually help me get my business growing, help me fix my business problems. They're byproducts. If you look at a target and you want to shoot from the outside in, you look at these concentric circles, you want to get to the middle, you want the outside of concentric circles to be representative of what's at the core and at the inside. If I just fix your business problems but actually don't give you an opportunity to work on the heart, then really all I've done is just generated Christian behaviorism. That lasts until the next trial, tragedy, trauma, or tribulation comes your way, and then you're going to default to your true value system. But if we work with the issues of the heart, we bring alignment between the value system of the business leader and the value system of heaven. Now we've got a totally different set of propositions to work with. And so really, Anathan is working in your personal life, then your family life, and then your business life. So we get congruence between the person of God and their heart right through then to dealing with clients and customers and staff. And
so it's you're doing a lot, but Julie said you're pastors. So so you is Anathan your church, or is Anathan your business and you also have a church?
Yes. pretty much. Oh, goodness, where would you start with that one? Anathan is, yes, it's our business, and now it is our church. We have very recently changed the model of church. We were pastors of a church that met between 10 and 12 on a Sunday morning. We did that for years and years. When we started working with business leaders, we really felt like the Lord was challenging our paradigm on that, challenging our mindset. I know we've spoken a lot about there are many business leaders who don't feel connected in their churches, mm-hmm. and they don't feel that any ministry that comes out of their business is a valid ministry. And we felt very challenged to join the dots between those two things. We knew that what we were doing with business leaders was really, really important. We also knew we were called to a local church. But every time we gave our attention and time to one, the other would suffer. So we wanted to see how the two of them would come together and mesh together. We knew that there was a way, we just didn't see it. Mark, years ago, and you're going to have to recite this because I can't remember it verbatim, was given a vision statement for church and what we were building. What was it that we really wanted to build? And we were praying into this and really wanted to hear what the Lord wanted us to build. And the vision statement that came was really informative to what we're doing now, but we didn't see it then.
Do you remember what that statement is, Mark?
Oh, yes,
yeah,
it does.
So I see a church that is so influential that a city cannot ignore it, so large that buildings cannot contain her growth. She's a beacon of hope, a light on a hill to a hurting, dying world where people are drawn in their masses to receive salvation, healing, wholeness, and freedom.
When we come back, lots more with Mark and Julie Appleyard as we hear more about the message that the Lord has given them for the country, and all found through Anathan.co. Anathan.co, that's it's like another with an N at the end instead of
an R
at the end. Anathan.co. And if you really need help remembering that, just think of Anakin, but it's Anathan. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back. Lord, it's been a rough day at work today. I've been working on a project and my coworker just doesn't seem to care about our deadline. Lord, what should I do? He's been late to work every day this week and sitting by himself during lunch lately. Do you think there's something wrong? What, Lord? You want me to ask if he needs prayer? Okay, Lord, I'll do that. Lord, I also want to thank you for my job. I pray that I can be an example for those I work with.
Lord, I made a commitment to pray for my coworkers and employees when I joined the I Work For Him Nation. Help me daily to lift them up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you want to make the same commitment? Join the I Work For Him Nation now and get a window sticker and a personal note from us. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
That's iwork4him.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results, and you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted Home Advisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. The Supreme Court effectively put an end today to a California law that forces anti-abortion crisis pregnancy centers to force information about abortion to those seeking one. The 5-4 ruling also cast doubt on similar laws in Hawaii and in Illinois. Key Republicans are welcoming the Supreme Court decision upholding President Trump's travel ban on visitors from mostly Muslim countries. Democrats are calling it a disgrace that proves discrimination. Republicans say it will help stop terrorism. It's primary day in seven states. The contest most concerning to President Trump is South Carolina, where he's rallied for Governor Henry McMaster. The November general election is nearly 4 months away as Republicans are hoping to continue to gather steam. On Wall Street, the Dow ending up 30 to 24,283. NASDAQ up 30 to 75,62. S&P up 6 to 27,23. You're listening to SRN News.
Black Friday Outlet has Black Friday closeout deals every day. High-quality furniture is always up to 80% off. And if it's not the cheapest in town, it's free. Current and past military get extra discounts. 100-day same as cash. Delivery available. They'll even take away your old furniture. High-quality furniture, bedding, and rugs at Black Friday Outlet. 1187 Lane Avenue South. If they don't have it, they can get it.
Want to save some money? Now I've got your attention. It's true. Every Saturday morning between 8 and noon, you can save 10 to 50% and more on the Discount Shopping Show. We can save you big money on clothing, jewelry, vacation spots, hotel stays, and more. Purchasing is easy. Just stay by your phone, listen for the deal being offered, and call into the number given to call in and make your purchases. It's that easy. The Discount Shopping Show, Saturday mornings at 8, only on 100.3 The Biz.
This half hour of the I Work For Him radio broadcast is sponsored by listeners like you who have contributed to the I Work For Him Ministries Giving Fund. Become a part of our support team. Find out more online at iworkforhim.com/donate.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. As Martha and I interview today, Mark and Julie Appleyard. They're from, well, we'll let them tell you where they're from, but this is all made possible because of the World Changer Network. Find them online. Our good friends, James and Anna Kramer, worldchangernetwork.com, worldchangernetwork.com. Julie, I asked you off the air, what brought you from Australia across the globe to Charlotte, North Carolina?
God did.
So that was the short
That's
answer.
That's the short answer. That is the really short answer.
And Mark, how do you find out the long answer?
Well, the shortened version of the long answer is I met a pastor in Hawaii in the mid-2000s at Wayne Cordero's leadership practicum. And, effectively, he just said, listen, you know, we'd love to get you guys over here at some point to run alongside of us. And so we had about 2 years, I suppose, in that journey where that didn't happen because we were right up to our eyeballs in ministry where we were. But some things shifted. We came across 2009 to take a look. It was a good fit. When we came across to be a part of their senior executive team. It's a large church, a Crossroads Church. Those who know Pastor Lowell, if you're listening from out in North Carolina, Pastor Lowell McNaney is a dear friend and brought us out. Mm-hmm. So we came on their senior executive of their large church. At the same time, pioneered a new campus of that church about 50 minutes away where we didn't know anybody, no one. I mean, zero, zippo. So we've traveled, if you went 1,500 miles northeast of where we live right now, you start heading back. That's we're almost on the opposite side of the planet from where we started. So I said to Julie, I said, you know, I get to ask you this question once. I said, what's it like being the pastors of nothing on the other side of the world from where you started and you know nobody? You know, so that's what it was. We were in miracle territory. And so the Lord said, I asked the Lord, I said, hey, where do we start? Because I don't know anybody. He said, I want you to become the biggest promoters of local business in the area. I go, what does that look like? And didn't really get anything. So it was like, okay, well, I guess that's all I've got. So I went knocking on some business doors and I got that bless your heart, pastor, kind of response.
Bless your little heart.
That's right. That's the, you know, in Aussies, we just say get lost or rack off.
It means the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I've learned. I just thought I'd be real nice.
Bless your heart also means... You're driving me crazy. It also means you are stupid.
That's right. And so then, you know, a couple of years into it, we didn't have any answers, but we found a way of connecting up those dots and started doing live interviews on Facebook and with business leaders and doing that free of charge for them and promoting them. And one day the head of the local business association came to us and said, you guys are clearly one of the biggest promoters of local business in this area. What can we do to help you? So that opened up a whole lot of opportunities for us.
And but the whole story, you guys just recorded a video of this whole story.
We did. That's right. On God TV. We did. We were down with Rich Marshall and the guys down there. Just really honored to be a guest on his show. Just a few weeks ago, and that's going to air, I believe it's September 2nd, on God TV on the God at Work program with Rich Marshall.
God at Work? How come we've never had Rich Marshall from God at Work TV?
I don't know, but we're going to talk about it after the
yes,
show.
We are.
Well, that's great. So we were just joking, if they want to hear more of that long,
right.
short story version,
yes.
they can check it out there, and
yeah.
maybe someday there'll be a book.
Right.
But so we want to ask you guys, what do you think is the most important message that the body of Christ needs to hear from you right now?
Take it away, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
The most important message. I journaled on this just this morning. There are many days where I feel like, how could God have chosen me to speak with people, minister to people, have an impact around the world? You know, I am a nobody. Who am I? You know, that whole, probably a little bit of false humility in there, probably a little bit of, you know, whatever. But here's something that the Lord said to me this morning. He said, every child of mine is chosen.
Mm.
Not one of them is not chosen. It's an issue of, it's a question of obedience. Are you going to obey what I've called you to do because I've chosen you, or are you not? And quite some many years ago, I decided that I was going to obey, and that not obeying was not an option, which means that when I know that I know that I know, and it takes me some time to get to that place. So it's not like I wake up one morning and go, oh, I know God's perfect will for my life and I'm just going to follow that and I'm going to be obedient to it. But once I know that that's what God wants me to do, I don't have any excuses left anymore because I've already promised him my obedience. So when he challenges me to do something, I can have the conversations that push back. I can have the, but God, I don't have time for that. But God, I'm not qualified for that. But God, who am I to go and do that? And when it becomes really clear that he's still asking me to do that thing, I just have to, as Mark would say, I just have to pony up and do it.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. So, Mark, what about for you? What do you think is the most important message that the body of Christ needs to hear from you?
Yeah, I obviously, as one flesh, I would resonate with that. I think it's the power of a partnered yes. Mm. We all carry a yes in our spirit. And we all have the power to choose where we partner that yes with fear, with no, with whatever. And so my mornings, most mornings the last several years have sort of started like this, that before my feet hit the floor and I swing my legs out of my bed, I say, Jesus, before the question even comes today, the answer is yes. Now direct my feet where you want them to go, and I mean it. And that has led us to the craziest places in the world by partnering my yes with heaven. Mm. I think it dovetails as well with the other thing, and that is that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, let love be your highest goal. Mm. Every activity, spiritual activity under heaven, if it is not, it is a means to an end. If it's not a means to an end to bring encounters with the always perfect love of the Father, then it's just spiritual activity. So we really have refined what we say yes to. If it enables us to bring love encounters, then let's go after it with everything we've got, because everything is a means to that end, because that's the highest goal, is love. Mm. And any other goal that seeks to get in the way of that is a false goal. They all need to come under that highest goal of love.
We're talking today with Mark and Julie Appleyard. You can check them out online, anathan.co, anathan.co. Of course, we'll have that link on our Facebook page. Trying to figure out how to spell that, but it's just like another, but at the end, not an R, but an N, anathan.co. All right, so talk to us about your calling, the calling in your life there in Charlotte, North Carolina. What's the most important thing right now that you're being called to do?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, realistically,
and God's listening. He's wanting to see if you're actually listening.
Yeah, well, we're listening. We're working like a duck with its feet going crazy underwater at the moment. The biggest questions, or the biggest problems, and biggest things that we're dealing with ministry and what we're going after is literally opening up every time zone in the world to be able to reach. And so we're dealing with some really big, good size, God size problems to wrestle and get to the ground, because the concept that that we've got with Anathan Global that he's placed in our hands is a global concept. And so we're developing micro communities around the world. And so as we develop those, we're bringing them together online using Zoom as a platform. And so we're already in three countries, and conversations at the moment for another five are on the table right now. It's only been running on in that direction for a few months, and it's going at a speed that's very hard to hold on to at the moment. Yeah. So we're really wrestling with some of those questions. We know that if we answer those size questions, then the issues of scalability for growth, for reaching the people of the world with the gospel, that we've answered some of the questions that can really help with it.
Tie that into the conversation about faith and work. Mm. I mean, why is that significant to our listeners, what the calling on your life?
Yeah, so where it's risen out of is, and I think you flagged already, that that there's this gap between people's experience at work and people's experience at church, and then in actual fact, there in many expressions of the body of Christ, they seem to be two very separate things. As we've worked with business leaders all across the world, I think we've been in 15 countries and 12 US states now, and it's growing. We're seeing this gap just get bigger and bigger and bigger. So that it's sort of emerged out of that need to say, how do we help people who are in the marketplace have a corporate expression of the body of Christ that makes sense to them? And so that's really where this birthed out of. What we discovered is, as we partnered our yes with that revelation, it's suddenly starting to attract a whole heap more people to it. It will always be the pointy end of the stick to create that space for Christian business leaders to become the most influential spiritual leaders in the world. But by going after that, we're finding that there's conversations opening up literally all over the world from people saying, how do we
simultaneously, everywhere you look, this conversation is happening.
Yeah.
Julie, I interrupted you. You wanted to say something. Go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that what we're doing at the moment with the micro communities ties right back into that vision statement that Mark said before the end of the last break.
Right.
Buildings will not contain her growth. The Western church paradigm is that you have to have a building program so that you can house all the people that will come. Whereas the Lord told us buildings won't contain her growth. In our thinking, we're thinking we have to be in a perpetual building program. Ugh, didn't want to have to do that. That sounded awful. But like this, when we switched from doing church the way we were doing church to doing it this way, where we've got micro communities online all over the world now, we doubled the size of our church in the first 2 weeks without buildings. without a building program, without a facility that we all gathered together into. So in terms of having an impact on the city, if you can have a church that's not contained within a building mm-hmm. but infiltrating the city, then you're going to have more impact. So that's kind of how it ties into the vision statement.
So just for people who are trying to grasp the concept, mm-hmm. what does that actually look like? The micro communities, what does that look like?
We have groups of people that will meet in various homes. Around Charlotte, we've got a group in West Palm Beach. We've got a group in Sakhalin, Russia. We've got groups in the Netherlands, and we're looking, like Mark said, at getting groups out into...
Yeah, we've now got looking at Nepal, Bhutan, Malaysia, Australia, and New Zealand at the moment.
Right. So they will meet in a group. So there'll be anywhere from 8 to maybe 20 that will meet at a particular home. At a particular time, mm-hmm. we will open up a Zoom call, and we will do, well, first of all, we do some worship on Facebook Live on Anathan. On Anathan's Facebook page, we do some live worship so that if
that
there's nobody...
And comes from California, so we're in North Carolina. So we have a group over here in California that meets, and that's where the worship comes from.
Right. So they have to get up super early.
No, because we do it nighttime.
Oh,
we do Saturday
there
nights.
You go.
So
all right, when we come back, the rest of the story as we talk with Mark and Julie Appleyard. Check them out online, anathan.com. Nope, anathan.co. Just kidding. This has all been provided by the World Changer Network, worldchangernetwork.com. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863, or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Do you dream about getting away with your spouse and escaping for a few days? Do you just want a little time to reconnect and enjoy a little sunshine? It's not too early to start thinking about planning time away with your spouse next winter.
We want to invite you to join us on our annual Cruise Your Way to a Better Marriage, brought to you by I Work For Him. We will be setting sail from Tampa Bay to Cozumel on Royal Caribbean Brilliance of the Seas, February of 2019, leaving on Valentine's Day. How romantic can it get?
Our main sessions will focus on ways to strengthen your marriage and grow closer to each other and to God. Breakout sessions will be geared to diving a little deeper, exploring biblical principles for marriages and the workplace.
With plenty of downtime to eat, relax, and connect with each other and the 20 other married couples, what's not to be excited about? Details are online at iworkforhim.com event page.
Register online at iworkforhim.com and let your boss know you'll be out for a few days in February because you'll be cruising your way to a better marriage. See you on the boat. That's iworkforhim.com. iwork4him.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as Martha and I talk with...
Mark and Julie Appleyard, and they're from anathan.co, and we were just talking about your micro-communities mm-hmm. that you have. It's a whole paradigm shift on doing church, mm-hmm. basically, is what you were explaining. And Saturday nights, Facebook Live worship, then you switch over to a Zoom call, mm-hmm. and that zooms into every one of your locations simultaneously. Yep. Take it from there. Yep. What does that look like? And then we've got a couple other questions.
Looks like a group of people sitting around in a lounge room. We may well have just finished dinner.
A lounge room,
a living room.
Okay, all right.
On couches.
A little more
comfortable.
I'm thinking there's beer and wine flowing. That's what a lounge is.
You know, that we could move that.
We could do that.
That could work.
There could be, yeah, anyway.
Bible.
They may be sitting with a cup of coffee. There may be kids running around, whatever. We will then teach into that mm-hmm. particular environment, so simultaneously to everywhere all at the same time. During the course of the teaching, we stop regularly, ask questions, and get the groups to actually discuss. So whatever we're talking about, whatever we're teaching, we actually have them interact with the material with each other. And then we come back, we ask them to share. So we're actually having people who are hearing from the Lord on a particular topic in Russia who are able to share, and the whole rest of the world gets to hear it. People from Charlotte who think that they'll never have an impact on the world are impacting the world when they share what the Lord has shown them in a particular conversation. Yeah. So that's where our connectivity comes in.
Well, I don't want to discount that, because I think that's fantastic. You're doing church, but the relationships, you're not getting to live with each
other. Well, but they are like 8 or 10 people.
We're still getting the micro-community.
So still got 8 or 10 in one room. Okay.
Right. But we're also still being able to do life with someone on the other side of the world. For example, if someone on the other side of the world has a particular prayer request or a health issue, then they're going to share that prayer request with all of the groups. And the groups, we've stopped things and actually asked someone in Charlotte to pray for someone in Russia
in real time.
And it's just really impactful and very encouraging to people who may not have been plugged into a church for a very long time. The way that we work these on a monthly cycle, the fourth week of every month is a corporate worship gathering. So those that are close enough to gather together will gather together. And we actually have a worship service, and we share testimonies and what is the Lord doing in your life over these last few weeks, and really encouraging people to build relationships and social networks so that we can grow.
So it's a way to do small church on a large scale.
Yes.
Right. So we call it glocal. It's global and local.
I like that.
All mixed in
together.
Keep it glocal. Big.
Wow. And you heard it right here.
That's a t-shirt. That's a t-shirt right there.
You heard it here first. I work for him. So, Mark, let me just answer this question. What would you say the body of Christ needs most right now?
I believe it's the issue of scalability. The elephant in the room that the body of Christ is not speaking about is how they can keep track with just simple population growth. And the current models of church in the West cannot keep up with that. Yes, they're growing, but they're actually being outstripped by the sheer exponential rate of population growth. You jump onto some of those world counter, a world clock counters, and look in real time who's checking out through death and who's checking in through birth, and look at the mean averages. It's growing and the population's growing. Then look at church growth comparatively. The gap every moment is getting broader and broader. To scale the current model of church is cost prohibitive to try and scale it at that rate. So we have to totally rethink.
Think of the billions of dollars we've wasted on buildings.
That's right.
We're not going to go there. That's a box.
Right. We actually have our church building on the market right now. We felt the Lord call us to sell it. We have no need for it anymore. And in fact, what we will do is the money we're putting into buildings, we'll be putting into each of the groups every month and say, just go find a need and meet it in Jesus' name.
Fabulous.
So we actually want to release resources back into the hands of the people of God and send a viral movement.
Speaking of resources, we have a couple of resources we want to get into the hands of our listeners. And we have neglected to do that till here at the end of the show. But you have both written a book. Julie's book is called Boardroom of the Inner Man. And Mark's book is called Think, Speak, Live, Business from Heaven's Perspective. And they have willingly given us the ability to give away a copy of each of those books. So we are going to have...
I think, though, they should explain them really quick so people know why they should get these books.
Okay, but in the meantime, call the listener line, 866-713-9675, and we will... We trust that we'll get the right book to you.
And when you read it, you will actually hear the Australian accent. It's very
So, Julie, tell us about your book.
Okay. So my book is called The Boardroom of the Inner Man. It is basically a way of thinking about our inner selves and how do we bring every area of our life into submission under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Mark was talking just now about scalability. I think in order to sustain scalability, the body of Christ needs to learn how to be more intimate with God. And this book will help with that. That was the thing that woke me up. Okay. That was the journey that I began when I prayed that prayer the second time at that same campground. Was, Lord, there's got to be more to this. And he took me on that journey, and it's quite amazing.
And Mark, what about your book, Think, Speak, Live, Business from Heaven's Perspective?
Yeah. So learning to live heaven to earth is learning to think how heaven thinks, speak how heaven speaks, and live how heaven lives in your personal life, your family life, and your business life, and releasing the current now conversation of heaven over those areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Very wow. good. So if this is something intriguing to you, you want to read this book for yourself, give us a call at 866-713-9675. Leave me a message how I can get a hold of you, and we'll get all the details.
All right. So a couple more questions before we get to the end of the show. And we'll start with Julie on this one. Okay. When you hear about the World Changer Network, when you hear World Changer Network, what excites you most about the platform of the World Changer Network?
That it's too big for just one person and that you need everybody else. You can't do it on your own. I think intimacy with Christ means that we've been made for community, which means we need each other. In order to change the world, we need each other. I think that's the thing that's most exciting. That means we get to meet more people. We get to learn more stuff. We get to collaborate on bigger and better things. We get to do all this kind of stuff that I would never do if I was just a housewife in suburbia.
But just a housewife. But one of the most greatest jobs ever, being a housewife.
Indeed. I mean,
well, we don't say housewife here. Domestic. They don't even say that. Just a stay-at-home mom. How about that?
Domestic engineer's okay.
I was that too. Yeah. I was that too. And it's a great vocation. That's really good. But it's also without a global mindset, without a world changer mindset, it becomes very narrow.
Mm-hmm. And mothers can be world changers too.
Oh, yeah.
So the
yes,
connection
indeed.
Of a whole network what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Billy Graham's mom changed the world.
Oh, yes, she did.
Mark, how do you see the World Changer Network advancing what you personally feel called to in the kingdom?
Yeah, I think what we've got is just this beautiful era we're in where the Lord has opened up opportunity for these networks and these partnerships to come together, where, you know, our piece of the puzzle is helping people in micro community to experience and express God and then through the business coaching and consulting side to bring that reality into business. But Anna and James together, again, with the partnerships and the people and like this relationship that they're setting up are just opening up a smorgasbord of opportunity that causes us to think differently. Right. They're not afraid to shake the cage and see what falls out the bottom. That's what excites me is that it's not like, we all understand it. No, we're on a journey together.
It's unpredictable.
Yeah, and every time we take a step, we're all taking a step together as the next piece of revelation is forming in front of us.
Psalm 119:105. He didn't say he was going to give us a million candlewatt flashlight. He said he's just going to have a lamp under our feet.
That's
just
exactly.
for our next step. All right, going back to the marriage thing as we finish this up, you guys are pastors. You're running a ministry that impacts the world. How are you protecting your marriage from the attacks that come because you're in ministry?
Yeah. That is also a moving target. Mm-hmm. I think to say, oh, this is all we need to do, has been our biggest downfall. When we've hit the wall, it's because of that. We just keep a constant open conversation. If there's a tension, let's deal with it right now.
Yeah.
And what are we hearing right now? Where's it coming from? And so I think that's helping us, you know, too, because we move at a really fast clip in our household and in our life. But we're creating space between the notes so that we can create beautiful music, to use a musical term. Unless there's anything there, you would think
you can't ever be too proud to pick up a book, read someone else's material, learn from someone else's journey. Always be transparent about where you're at and what you're dealing with. It's not that you broadcast it to the world, we're having this problem in this moment, but there's always people around that you can say, hey, can you just be praying for us at the moment? It's a rocky patch. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't mean we're about to fall apart. It just means we need the body of Christ around us to pick us up and keep us on track.
Fantastic. Mark and Julie Appleyard, thanks so much for being on iWorkRim this afternoon.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
It was a lot of fun. Check them out online, anothen.co, anothen.co, anothen.co. You will never be the same if you check them out. You've been listening to iWorkRim with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field. But ultimately, I work for him. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, Jim. Happy birthday to me.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600 WZNZ, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and I'm proud to say that Underwoods is the longest standing member of the American Gem Society in the state of Florida. That's important because the American Gem Society promotes professionalism inside the business, and most important because of how it protects the customer. Gemstones are like most things, and you have to have the knowledge about them before you can tell the truth about them. That's where the American Gem Society fits in. They're the organization that certifies gemologists and registered jewelers and certifies sales associates with professional titles. Then to ensure that we stay up to date with these gemological advances, we re-win our titles by passing a written test every year. And now I'm proud to say Underwoods has the largest credentialed American Gem Society staff east of the Mississippi River.
So if you're interested in diamonds and jewelry and want real professional help, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Attention all business owners. Are you happy with your website? Is your website easily found on the internet? How about your social media? Does your company have a professional and engaging social media presence? If your answer is no, then contact Smarty Digital today for help with your website, digital marketing, or social media campaign. Call or click today for a free digital marketing audit. It will be the smartest decision you will ever make. Call Smarty Digital at 904-674-3370. That's 904-674-3370. 3370 or click smartydigital.com.